Well, good evening, everyone. It really is lovely to be here in Annalong. The drive from Donaghadee to Annalong is just glorious. The last time I was here, it was nighttime, so I couldn't see very much. But I was saying to David and Pamela, when you approach, come through Ballinahinch and you just approach the mountains, you think, oh, this is so beautiful. So you're so blessed to live in such a lovely place. Obviously, I'm a bit biased and I love Donaghadee, and you should all come there too. It's really great. I've been there for 15 years. Involved in lots of different things over the years, probably pre-COVID, as life is now referred to. Pre-COVID, did little courses like an Alpha course and Bible study group that followed on from that, some speaking and teaching and pastoral work, and then some work with the under fives in toddler group and Sunday school. But yes, the last time that I was here was the 13th of March 2020. That was 10 days before we went into lockdown, and I had no idea what was ahead of us. Would you ever have imagined that COVID would have had such an impact on our lives and on our world? You know, I remember coming to you on that night. It was a Friday night in March, and I was so full of enthusiasm that night. I was excited about what God had been doing in our church, what he was going to do, where we could see him moving. We had just finished a conference that January, and the theme of that conference was Arouse the Church to Awaken the Nation. And I had this big banner and pulled it out, and I thought, God's going to do great things. And we have been praying that God would arouse our church, that he would stir us into action, because we knew that when we are alert to him, who he is, what he's doing, then we impact that world around us. You know, I firmly believe that when the world sees Christians who are actually passionate about Jesus, who love him, who are making tough decisions to follow him, unpopular decisions because they know, well, it's the right thing, but I want to follow Jesus, it causes a stir in the world, doesn't it? We want to cause a stir. And we prayed, God, would you awaken us? Would you arouse our church? Never, ever did it occur to me that he might be awakening us in a whole different way than we ever expected. That God would use a pandemic to arouse and stir Christians, arouse and stir the church. And I guess we shouldn't really be surprised that God would use difficult situations to further his kingdom work. The periods of isolation and disruption would actually be used to purify the church. They'd be used to draw people to him. We shouldn't be surprised at that, but I think we were all taken aback. Tonight I want us to spend some time looking at that passage in 2 Corinthians. So if you have a Bible and you want to follow on, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it was read from verse 7 to 18. And it just continues that theme of God working through difficult times, difficult situations. And there were three things as I read this passage that I just wanted to draw out from it. The first one was our present circumstances. The second one was the spiritual reality. And the third was eternal perspective. And I suppose I sum it up with outward, inward, and upward. So if you go away tonight and you remember nothing else, just remember what's going on outward, the present circumstance, what's going on inward, that spiritual reality, and upward, what is our eternal perspective? And when you look at that passage and think about the outward, Paul has so much to say about his present circumstances, what he was living in, what he was living through. And for Paul, life had not been easy at all. We'd been going through the book of Acts recently, and when you read the book of Acts and you read all of the struggles that he faced so much pain and suffering. He was beaten, he was left for dead, he was imprisoned, he faced persecution, he was threatened. When you read Corinthians, it said he had some kind of thorn in his flesh, he had some kind of ailment or some problem, and he kept praying to God to take it away, but God didn't. So life wasn't really that easy for Paul as a Christian. And when you look at this passage in verse 8, he says that they're hard pressed on every side, that they're hedged in a sense by troubles, that they're perplexed. They don't really know why things are happening the way that they were. That he was persecuted by many people. And in many ways, you could have looked at his life and thought, well, that's not very good. It's not a very successful Christian life if all these things are happening to him. Onlookers may have looked on at this life and thought, well, if that's a blessed Christian life, I don't know that I want that. It doesn't look very appealing. Some may have questioned, is Paul actually following the right thing if life is really so hard? But through all of the trials, through all of his suffering, the thing that it did was it made Paul very aware of his weakness. It made him very aware of his mortality. And in verse 7 of this passage, Paul refers to us as being jars of clay. We're jars of clay. And if you think of that clay jar or that clay pot, think of how fragile that is. In ancient times, clay was used to make so many things. It was the material of the common people. Jugs, oil jars, bowls, griddles, wash basins, pots, anything was made of clay. And it wasn't a valuable thing. Clay was just common. It was never really particularly beautiful. It was just used for a purpose. But the thing about it was, it could be so easily cracked, it could be so easily broken. And there's no doubt that that clay pot, that clay jar, that clay vessel would have served a purpose. It had a use in and of itself, but really, it was just a jar. And it was going to be replaced when it would finally stop being of use. And Paul uses that example to say that we're a bit like that, that we're like these things that are made of clay, that even the strongest of us in this room, the most able of you in this room, ultimately we can be cracked and broken. And of course, we are formed by the master potter. We're made on purpose, we're made for a purpose, but we are mortals on this earth and we face all sorts of things that cause chips and cracks in us. We're not perfect. We're not invincible. Just like that clay pot, we have a lifespan. And outwardly, like that clay pot, at the end of that chapter, Paul says, it's like we're wasting away. That outwardly, our bodies are in decay. And I think any of us in this room would say that our mortality is very real to us. Think if you're maybe under 40, it's not so much. But think once you're over 40, you're aware of your mortality. You know, it's been said that from the moment you're born, you're dying. From the moment you're born, your body's actually in decay and dying. And it's so true, isn't it? No matter how much Botox people get, no matter how many cosmetic procedures people get, they actually can't ultimately stop the fact that they're mortals. That one day, life will come to an end. And I know as I visit, especially older people who have increasing aches and pains, things that aren't working the way that they used to work, they're very aware that their bodies are in decay, that bodies are wasting away and not everything you can always fix. And I think for us, this past few years have reminded us all of our weakness and our vulnerability. I think that when COVID came and everything just suddenly stopped, I would say for most people, it felt like the rug was just being pulled from under them. Where we felt that we were invincible, that we were in control, suddenly we realized that we had so very little control over our lives, our circumstances, our health. We were aware of our weakness. And that weakness took many different forms. Fears, worries suddenly crept into people's lives. People who beforehand felt that they were dealing with everything suddenly felt so shook up and disturbed by all of the changes. Illnesses took a toll on people's bodies and minds, especially when medical care wasn't available. Working parents were really stretched with homeschooling and maintaining their workload. People who lived on their own felt suddenly very isolated, and where maybe they felt lonely every so often, suddenly loneliness was a very real thing. You know, all over the media it was saying that kids and young people are resilient. They're so resilient. But actually, I think they felt the effects of this as much as anyone else. we saw the regression in behaviours, in social skills. Many struggled going back into that school environment, struggled when there was no structure, and now there is structure. People who felt burdened by health issues beforehand suddenly felt that burden even more because they didn't have the support around them. Outwardly, it's not hard to see our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, that not one of us in this room is a superhuman. None of us. And as well as that, we stood and we looked at church life, church connection. I know I certainly wondered, how will we ever recover? How will we recover from COVID? That everything had stopped. Services, groups, activities, times of having coffee after church, nothing, nothing at all. And we saw people drift away from any kind of church connection. People who were in the fringes of church suddenly were nowhere to be seen. We couldn't visit or support people face to face. Reaching our young kids was really difficult, and our youth really struggled when everything was on a screen for them. And outwardly, if you just looked outwardly, you would have looked at the church and thought, we're dying. We'll never recover. The things will never be the same again. Outwardly, bleak. Looking solely at our outward present circumstances, whether it's your personal ones, whether it's church-related, when we look at the outward, it can be so discouraging, so disheartening, because outwardly, dying, wasting away, outwardly weak. But thankfully, we don't stop there and we can't stop there. This passage doesn't just focus on the outward circumstances and just leave it there. If it did that, there would be no hope for any of us. We would just live and then die, the end, with suffering and weakness and pain having no purpose whatsoever. But Paul in this passage tells us that there's more to life. There's more than we see and experience. That there's more going on than is visible in our present circumstances. Outwardly, it may look like we're wasting away. But inwardly, Paul says, we are being renewed. We're being renewed day by day. That God is working in the middle of our suffering, our weakness, and our pain. That God is working in us and that God is working through us. Inward. And it's important to look and think about inward because inward is where the renewal happens. It's where the change happens. There's no doubt that Paul sees that troubles and pain and suffering are a reality. They're just part of life. And there's no escaping it for any of us. But this suffering and pain and weakness is momentary. And it's serving a purpose. That these